Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome to this, the 10th episode of Missing Frames. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. Now, you would think we would be celebrating with some amazing classic film, but we're not. It's Valentine's Day weekend, or the weekend before Valentine's Day, and Lindsay Kendrick has joined me today to discuss a romantic classic. Maybe classic's too strong a word, but we're going to be watching The Notebook, which I've never had the displeasure of seeing, but Lindsay, you have seen this movie. So tell me, how did this movie come into your life? How did you first go about seeing it?
Well, I actually, first off, I hate this movie. Hooray!
In case you were wondering, disclaimer.
A lot of people do love it, so I'm not saying that it isn't well-liked.
But we're saying that they're idiots, is what we're saying.
I saw it in college with a big group of girls around Valentine's Day, not in the theater. We all sat around, and I heard it was great. And I just heard these wonderful things about it. And so I sat down and we were all watching. And I don't really remember a lot of the details other than I looked around at one moment and everyone in the room was crying except for me and my friend sitting right next to me.
Elite.
And we just looked at each other and I didn't know, like, I cry for the smallest things.
Right.
I cry for commercials. I cry constantly. And I just could not produce one tear.
For Ryan Gosling?
For this movie. Aww. And I was just so confused as to why I just couldn't. And this was before I realized how horrible Nicholas Sparks is.
Right.
Because this is like the first one.
This is it. This is the movie that studios realized, like, oh shit, we can make tons of money from these movies and let's keep making them. But this was kind of the pioneer in that way. It wasn't the first Nicholas Sparks adaptation. I don't know what the other two were, but this was apparently number three. But I do remember this came out when I was in high school. So it was summer 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember this being like a huge deal. Like everyone was freaking out about it. And oh my God, The Notebook, it's so good. It's so much better than you would think it is. I remember people said that a lot. And I was like, well, that's great. I still have no interest in seeing it. And it seems, based on what you're saying, my thought process was valid, maybe?
I think so. It was my first exposure to Ryan Gosling as well, which is right. Funny because he's one of my absolute favorite people in the whole world.
And he's one of the best.
But at that time, after seeing that movie, I hated him. I was like, this guy sucks. He's not even cute.
Right.
He's in stupid movies. I thought that he was just another run-of-the-mill, like, throw him in every romantic comedy movie. And he just seems so boring that I was just disgusted by him, which is just hilarious now because I think
he's like one of the most beautiful men in the world.
Revolutionary. And I think I think he's aged well, where he actually looks better and he presents himself and better than he used to. So it's weird looking back on it. I don't remember a lot of the details. I just remember that I hated the characters and I didn't care what happened to them. Like, I wasn't attached to them. So I was like, I don't know. They can die, like, if they want.
I don't care if they die.
They can.
That's the sign of a good movie when you're just like, characters can die. I don't care.
I didn't like them as people.
Right.
This movie does. The movie goes back and forth from them as old people and them as young people when they first met, so it goes back in time.
But something to look forward to.
I was fine with them as old people,
but not the actual
old people. But like when they were young and it was like this romance that was just so amazing and passionate. I think, especially now, I feel like I don't know if I will go easier on it or I'll hate it more.
Right.
Because being married, I feel like it really misrepresents like actual love. Like all movies like that have like this weird concept of what love is. And it's all about just like impulse and it just hits you and you have no control and you go crazy. And I'm like, you make your own decisions. You're an adult.
Lindsay, as far as I'm concerned, even though I haven't seen this movie, I can say with 100% certainty that it is the best representation of love that has ever existed in any form. So I'm just going to call it right now, and we'll see if I agree with myself afterwards. But just based on the poster, there's so much passion and so much rain in it and so much Ryan Gosling. How can this not be the greatest romance of all time? I just don't know. But okay, so the director of this film is Mr. Nick Cassavetes. I'm sorry, Nick. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Call in. Call in now and let me know. but he directed John Q with Denzel Washington, which I did not see. Did you see that?
I don't think so. No.
I remember my brother really loved that movie. I don't know why. that he directed Alpha Dog. And more recently, his most recent movie was The Other Woman with Cameron Diaz and what's her name? Leslie Mann. And then
Kate Upton.
Kate Upton, the model, which I know was a smashing success with a whopping 24% on Rotten Tomatoes and whatever other nonsense. I think it had a quick, very swift death at the box office as well. So
it was on TV the other day, and I remember looking up and thinking, God, this is awful. What is it? And I hit info and I was like, oh yeah.
Okay. It's the guy who directed The Notebook. But more interestingly is the guy who wrote this movie, Jeremy Levin, who wrote The Legend of Bagger Vance and also Real Steel, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie with Hugh Jackman. also wrote The Notebook, because, you know, that's what I think about
They're
when
so
I think of Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Not connected at all.
No.
Wasn't The Legend of Bagger Vance, like, really good, apparently? It was so long ago, I saw it, but I
don't remember seeing it. I remember it was like a Will Smith vehicle,
yes,
basically.
It's a golf.
Like, it was like, oh, here I am, and look how amazing of an actor I am. But
yes.
I don't know if it was, I think people called it. Like, they were like, oh, yeah, this is sappy crap, but like,
yeah. I saw it, I think, when it first came out, so it's been a while.
Okay.
But I think it was supposedly decent. At least I probably would look back and think it was a little cheesy, but
right.
The robot movie, okay.
There you go. So shockingly, I was doing research for this movie, and I'll admit, audience, I have absolutely no interest in watching this movie. So I was expecting, like, oh God, I have to go research and find facts to, like, you know, inform everybody. But this movie actually has a really interesting history. So Steven Spielberg was originally interested in directing this.
I
don't know why. And apparently Tom Cruise was going to be in it. This is like in 1998. So it's like,
okay,
Tom Cruise had not yet gone crazy. And he and Spielberg were buddy-buddy.
Oh, gosh.
They were about to do, they did Minority Report
Could
instead.
Could you imagine his like tiny little short stature, like picking up, like doing that kiss?
Oh my God. I think they picked a better book to adapt with Minority Report.
Right.
But also Martin Campbell was entering negotiations to direct in March 2001. Martin Campbell, who directed GoldenEye and Casino Royale, which I think is the best James Bond movie, and The Mask of Zorro, and even more popularly, is that right?
Yeah.
Sure, why not? He directed Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds.
Oh.
So that was another Ryan starring movie that is fared about as well. But I have a feeling that the story behind this movie, as far as the directors and people who were attached, is more interesting than the actual movie itself.
Yes, I wish I could say it really stuck in my memory, but I just I think I stared blankly at a screen for 2 hours.
Now, Cassavetes, he said he wanted to hire somebody unknown and, quote, not handsome to play the main character.
Well,
so Ryan Gosling, that was the man who leaped out at him. He was like, this man's not handsome.
That's interesting, because because I didn't read the book, of course.
Right.
Was the character written?
You haven't read the book, Lindsay? Oh, my
I'm
God.
Sorry. Was he really like a Rochester? Was he really supposed to be not traditionally handsome, or just?
I guess so.
Was that how? Now, Ryan Gosling to me at the time actually wasn't physically my type. I thought he was a little odd looking, but I think he has since really grown into himself.
When you
he
see
looks
him,
more mature.
When you see him beating people to bloody pulps in Drive, I think that's what really won my heart. I will say that. But apparently Gosling felt the same way about, like, he got the script and he was like, I couldn't be more wrong for this movie. So but then he did it anyway. I guess he decided, why not? But Gosling, because he's amazing, he like super devoted himself to this role. He actually moved to Charleston, South Carolina prior to filming, and he rode the Ashley River and made furniture. And apparently there's a table in a kitchen somewhere, I guess his kitchen, that he actually made for the movie because he really wanted to get into character.
That's
basically
amazing.
Ryan Gosling is too good for this movie.
Oh, I agree.
And then Rachel McAdams. I feel like Rachel McAdams kind of gets forgotten because she's not Ryan Gosling, but let's give her a little bit of credit. So apparently they had really good chemistry. The director said when Rachel McAdams came in and read, it was apparent that she was the one. She and Ryan had great chemistry between them. And she really wanted to do it. And Gosling was saying that, you know, she really drove the movie. Now, apparently, when they first started filming, the two of them did not get along at all, to the point where the director actually had to stage an intervention and get them into a room together. Because it got so bad that even Ryan Gosling was trying to get her kicked off of the movie.
What?
I know. Isn't that amazing?
What a jerk. Well, this is weird because that's not how I imagine either. I feel like both of those people seem like they would just get a, like, they seem very easygoing.
Right.
And so
also, I feel like they
imagine.
Probably, I would be less surprised to hear stories about the two of them teaming up on set to be like, we're better than this, don't you think? We probably should be doing other stuff. But apparently, so Gosling tried to get her kicked out of the movie, and finally the director just kind of sat them down, and basically they hashed out all their ills, and then apparently they even dated for a little while. So hey,
I was not aware.
The Notebook brings so many people together. Another fun fact about this movie, there's apparently a scene in it where Noah, the Ryan Gosling character, drives up to a gate and crashes into it. It's of Rachel McAdams' character's summer manor.
Okay.
Apparently that was not intentional. That was a complete accident. And they're like, well, let's just keep it in the movie.
Oh, wow. So he's like just very angrily, like he's just trying to get up and see
her. I guess so. My theory is that he was just drunk throughout this entire production. It's the only way he could get through it. And then he just drove into a gate.
I do remember that. I just would never have guessed.
Right. So despite what you think about it, what I assume I will think about it, this is terrible. Who is this episode for? I don't know, because the only people who would want to listen to this, it's like they're going to see, if by any chance a fan of The Notebook sees this on like Facebook or something,
forever.
And they're like, oh, The Notebook, great. And they're going to hate us and they're never going to listen anymore. And the people who don't like The Notebook are going to see this on Facebook and say, why would I listen to that? I don't like The Notebook. So this episode is basically for no one. This is like the one for me, and then there are five episodes for nobody else. But nobody is going to want to listen to this. I just want to point that out. Now, this movie had a budget of $29 million, and it made $115.6 million. Which is why we have the onslaught of Nicholas Sparks movies to this day. Although I feel like it's been diminishing returns.
I think they're dying out.
Yeah.
I really hope that that's what's happening, because I got to the point where a trailer would start and I would know in 10 seconds if it was a Nicholas Sparks movie.
There was a point where I walked into a Target and they had all his books lined up, and you realized the cover was exactly the same on each one, like the guy holding the girl and they're about to kiss. Every single cover was the same. It was amazing.
He not only writes just like romance so terribly, uh-huh. He writes women so terribly. There are some men, like I think that there are a few men that maybe. I can give a little bit of credit to, like,
right.
George R. R. Martin, I think, writes women wonderfully.
Right.
He they're complex. They have the same emotions as men. They are like just like other humans. But I can't handle how he, like, what he thinks that women are interested in. And I guess I know that women like this, and I'm not trying to bash. I would never do that. And I think you like what you like, and that's totally cool. But I just find his depiction of women super, super insulting.
And I think his ex-wife feels exactly the same way.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Nicholas Sparks. So this movie has a 52% on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you think that's valid?
Yes.
Do you think it should be lower?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm overreacting. I kind of want to rewatch it and see if my opinion like chills out a little bit.
Okay.
And I was just really disappointed because I think I was expecting something great and I was just not into it at all.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe that now that my opinion of Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams
right.
is better.
What if we both end up loving this? Because we are both I can tell. I feel I'm getting this vibe from you, but I feel extremely dismissive of this movie already. So I would be shocked if I actually liked it and we come back and we're like, oh my God, that wasn't that bad.
I'll be completely honest. If I end up not really hating it, I'll say that. I'll say, hey, you know what? That really wasn't that bad. But it's apparently probably the best Nicholas Sparks adaptation.
That doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't say a lot, but it is because I watched a couple of others that just for laughs, mm-hmm. and they are horrible. There was one with like a ghost. I don't even know what happened, but there was literally a ghost in the movie, but it was like a romantic, I think. I don't know. It was like really like TV movie bad. So like this, I think
so
is a lot.
So you're telling me we need to watch more of these for Missing Frames.
You can't watch them sober. You can't watch them sober.
We're about to watch this sober. Just a fair warning. Unless you have alcohol somewhere, and I don't really drink, so it's going to be all you. Before we go watch this movie, let's just break with this wonderful review from Tim Brayton of Antagony and Ecstasy. He says, if you ever want to see a flawless example of a movie which is redeemed from mediocrity solely through the cast, there is hardly a better one than this. And that's a positive review of this movie.
Wow.
So that says a lot. But all right, I guess let's go not get drunk and watch The Notebook.
Okay, I'm ready.
Now available to own on video cassette.
All right. We're back. No, we're back. That's how we're going to start this. We just watched The Notebook, Lindsay, and I'm going to be completely honest. I don't believe love exists anymore. That was one of the most disturbing movies I think I've ever seen in my life. And it truly, truly horrifies me that people like this movie. Like, I'm genuinely horrified. What do you think it is about this movie that people really latch onto? Because it's frankly a really dishonest and really disturbing view of like love and relationships and like, you know, your soulmate or whatever. What is it about this movie that you think attracts people?
I don't know. It might be similar to like how Twilight and 50 Shades seem to attract people, because it's a super unhealthy relationship. It's manipulative. It's insulting to anyone who's in a like stable relationship,
right,
and to women. I was trying to figure it out, and I don't know if it's just because people think Ryan Gosling is dreamy and that's that.
I guess, I mean, Twilight was something that kept coming to mind like when I was watching this, and I'll be honest, I had no desire to watch this movie. I know you didn't either because you knew what we were in for, but like I wasn't expecting it to be that terrible.
It was really funny though.
It was hysterical, but like it was a very disturbing relationship. So we're supposed to invest in these two characters and like want them to be together, but there was never a point where one, it felt like they had anything genuine to love about each other, and two, their entire relationship was like built on like lies and manipulation, and like it was so disturbing. Disturbing is the word I feel like I'm going to use the most in this review, because it really was like off-putting.
I think that from the very beginning, when it was supposed to be endearing that he threatened to drop himself off of a Ferris wheel if she wouldn't go on a date with him.
Yeah, he basically coerces, he convinces her to go out with him by like climbing onto a Ferris wheel that she's in with her date. And he's basically like, if you don't go out with me, I'm going to jump off and kill myself. And it's like, all right, well, that's a healthy start to a relationship. And the movie doesn't really improve from that.
He tells her that she's not free and or something along those lines.
Yeah,
and then they lay on the street together, and that shows that she can be free with him. She eats it up too. It's like at first she's like, no, I don't like this.
Yeah,
and then
she's like, I'm a city girl and you're just a crazy country boy. There's no way I'll like this.
And it wasn't clear, by the way, that he was like country and she was city.
I didn't get
like
that until about halfway through. There's a scene where he's about like a third of the way through, you're like, oh, I guess they're in love with each other now. Okay. And they're like making out on the beach and stuff and all this ridiculous stuff. And then they're having dinner with her like really rich parents. And it's like there's a class thing going on here too. And they're like, how much do you make an hour? And he's like, oh, I make 4 cents. And they're like, oh, sweetie, you shouldn't date that guy. He only makes 4 cents an hour.
And her dad like this hilarious mustache.
Her dad is like basically Borat. Like, it was like, is this supposed to be funny? Because it's ridiculous. But I took notes throughout the movie. During and I'm going to try, let me see if I can, if we can interpret what I'm talking about.
My gosh. Because
it's basically very simple notes. So the first note I took was fake ducks. So the opening of this movie, the opening shot of this movie is this beautiful lake and a man's rowing over it. And then they introduce like CG ducks. And it was like, it looked like Birdemic. Like I was like, literally like already, this is the best movie I've ever seen. This is Birdemic. They're just like geese flying all over and they're clearly fake. And then I don't know if it's because you mentioned this in the opening of this episode or because I read it somewhere, but like, I knew from the beginning that it was Ryan Gosling, that the old guy was Ryan Gosling. Like, so they open with like an old man and an old woman, and the old man's like, here, let me read you, the old woman with dementia, a story. And it's like, oh, that's Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams. And it, I feel like I knew that already. I think you did say that, and I'm trying to be like, oh, look how smart I am. But honestly, even if I knew nothing about this movie, and I'm pretty sure I'd read that that was the case and that was the surprise, quote unquote, even if I hadn't, it was so like obvious that that was what it was. It's like, oh yeah, this can't be anything but that.
I don't really know what their goal was, if it was supposed to be hidden or not. It's really unclear what they were going for.
Yes,
I know.
It's true.
I know
throughout the whole movie that is true.
In every single scene, but particularly that when I think when he goes to his first. Was it when he goes to the doctor? There's one moment when he's like, no, she'll remember if I read her this story.
Right.
She'll remember that it's her. So at that point, they straight up say it, but it just kind of dropped into the middle of the movie. And I don't know if it's supposed to be a reveal or you're supposed to know.
I couldn't tell if they were trying to be like coy and like, oh, you don't really know. But it was like, yeah, we know. Okay, let's talk about Ryan Gosling a little bit. We love Ryan Gosling. He's one of the great actors of our generation. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened in this movie. The first time he starts talking, my note is Ryan Gosling is mumblecore. I think that describes it. I think he is mumblecore. I don't know if mumblecore is a real word, but it basically he just is, and I mean that's kind of Ryan Gosling's thing, but he's sort of perfected it now, and he's not like just mumbling through and you can't understand.
Well, he's endearing now.
He's endearing now, and he's also in much better movies now.
Yeah, I don't like him young. I don't know. There's something about his face that I just want to. Punch, but I think it might be his
the long pointed face
and like
as you
the
described
stringy
it.
Hair that they give him. I just it's not appealing. And then what you mentioned when we were watching is that James Marsden completely outacts him, and I don't know if it's because his character is better written, but I was just sitting here like, I like James Marsden. Yeah. We'll marry James Marsden.
Why does
He's
James
nice.
Marsden get screwed over all the time in every relationship? It happens in this movie. It happened in X-Men. It happens in Superman Returns. It happens in Westworld. You know, all the time he's getting screwed over. So I just feel bad. I think James Marsden is wonderful. And I think it's so funny. So Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams meet. They have this like summer fling and it's like very superficial. And we don't get any sense of like,
they're like
a real
obsessed.
Connection.
Obsessed with each other in an unhealthy way. But then you're like, oh, they're young, whatever. It's just
they're
like
young
a thing.
And in love. And there's whatever. A really weird scene where like, they're like, let's go somewhere because they like totally want to bang each other.
It's
and
creepy.
He like feels her boobs in a really weird way. He just kind of
puts his hands
like I wish the audience could see what I'm doing. If you were to put your hands out in front of you like you're giving a double high five, that's what he did to her boobs. He didn't actually like you know caress them or anything.
There was
he
no
just put them,
chemistry.
He high fived her boobs. That's it.
Who thinks that they have chemistry? They have zero.
They
chemistry.
Have zero chemistry. And,
it's so bad.
And they so. He does that. He high fives her boobs and then they're like, let's go somewhere. And they go to a creepy haunted house. Like it looks terrifying. Like this is like where people go to get murdered. And they're like, let's just do it on the dirty, dusty
but
floor.
First, let's talk about how we want to live here.
Oh, right. Yeah. They don't. They're like super horny. But then they are like, wait, let's talk and play the piano.
She plays the piano.
Right.
And then this scene is the weirdest love scene because it's, I don't know if it's supposed to be awkward or it's supposed to be romantic or what, but they just, they take off their clothes standing and staring at each other, blank stares, not like they don't even care. They're not even, they don't look like they're in love. They just look like they're dead staring.
Yeah. They take off articles of clothing like one at a time. It's a very long and drawn out scene. So it's very uncomfortable, but they start removing their clothes and like, he'll take off his shirt, she'll take off her shirt, and they'll kind of look at each other. And I remember she takes off her bra and he kind of like gives her this blank, like looks down at her boobs, looks back up at her, no expression. And then they just get completely naked and it's like, what has happened? Is this romantic? Or is this how serial killers like mate with each other? Like, this is so disturbing. And it was like, they're supposed to be in love with each other. We're supposed to care about these people. And they're so creepy.
Well, and they start to, you know, it's happening. And then she starts talking.
She's freaks
like,
out.
Why aren't you talking to me? Like, why aren't we having a conversation? What's wrong with you? And it's like, it's this weird, like over-exaggerated female stereotype where
like the girl's like, oh, I don't know.
She wants to talk about her feelings or what's happening throughout. Right. And it's like, no, like it just seems overly stereotypical. One of many things that seemed very stereotypical about her character.
And about, this movie is full of stereotypes. But speaking of stereotypes, let's get back to James Marsden because our poor best friend, James, you are wonderful. You're one of the great actors and nobody appreciates you like I do. I love you. I mean, James Marsden, let's be honest, he's a really fantastic actor. He's been kind of saddled with these really thankless roles where he sort of is like, oh, he's the other guy who kind of gets screwed over. In this movie, so Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams, they separate and she's going to school in New York and he'll never go to New York with her. So they break up. 7 years pass. He writes her letters. He writes her a letter every day of the year. 365 letters.
I just wonder what they could have contained. And you know, he only reads like, what was it? Walt Whitman?
Right.
That's all he knows.
And you find out that through reading poetry, he had a stutter and through reading poetry out loud. You lost it. He's very sophisticated.
I don't
in that way.
Think that's how it works. I don't know. I don't think you can cure dementia by reading a story and they'll just remember.
Lindsay, you can't prove that you can't.
True. Well, remember, he said he poo-pooed science and he said, what? Science can only go so far, but God
will take it from here.
Guess what? God killed you both. So
God, I mean, I don't think God's in their favor either. They're two pretty terrible people. She cheats on her husband. He's just a dick. And like, they are just like horrible to everyone around them. Like, they are in this really weird, like disturbing relationship with each other. And everyone else gets screwed over as a result. And so, you know, after they separate for 7 years, they don't talk to each other. And her mom is hiding all the letters that he writes her, so she doesn't know. And then she meets this guy who's like, amazing. This guy is played by James Marsden. He's amazing, caring. He's rich. He's very, like, you know, prosperous and wonderful and wants to take care of her and loves her and she loves him. And then she basically screws him over and goes back to Ryan Gosling and sleeps with him and cheats on her husband. And it's like, why? Like, you're a terrible person. Yeah. And we're expected to empathize with
you? They could have pushed it. I think that they were trying to make it like, well, he understands their love or something by the end, but like, they could have made him, they made him rich, which I understand doesn't make you better,
right.
But it also doesn't automatically make you like a dirtbag either. And he was letting her, he wasn't controlling her in any way.
Right.
He was like,
kind and understanding.
Whatever you want to do with your life. When she told him, especially when it almost was like she was blaming him. She's like, I used to like to paint. And he never stopped her from painting. Right. He didn't even know she liked to paint. And he was like, oh, I didn't know that. And he was like, you should paint.
And right.
She's
and
like,
keep in
okay.
mind, this is after she's just admitted that she's cheated on him. Like, she slept with her old boyfriend. And
oh, wait,
he's
wait,
like,
wait. That was, that was, oh, the painting was right before.
Right.
Then she goes and sleeps with him.
Right.
And then she comes back and tells him.
Yes. So she goes off and she, you know, she goes back home to be with Ryan Gosling. She cheats on her husband. And then she spends like two romantic days with Ryan Gosling, who like writes cursive notes. And he's like, I love you. I made breakfast.
Hey, at least they technically weren't married yet. She just had the engagement ring. So I guess she's got a pass.
She had the engagement ring. And as you pointed out, she had it on while she and Ryan Gosling were doing it. So
yes, this really big engagement ring.
She's a pretty terrible person. But so James Marsden, like, she tells him and he's like, well, honey, you can do whatever you want and I just want you to be happy. And it's like, what is this movie? And in the scene before, Ryan Gosling's girlfriend comes over and she does the same thing. Like, Rachel McAdams is like, yes, come in, come join us. And the girl, instead of saying what any normal person would, which is like, screw you, what the heck, what is going on, she is like, okay. And then when she leaves, she goes, Noah, she's pretty amazing, I have to admit. you two are perfect for each other. And then James Marsden does the same thing. So they're both completely off the
hook. I felt so bad for this woman who was in a quote unquote relationship with Noah for a short period of time, because he treats her like dirt. Like the one time that we see them together alone before he reunites with his long lost love.
Right.
He just stares. He doesn't even make eye contact right. with her.
He brings her over to basically like just
sleep together.
Yeah, they sleep together. And then she's like, I want to connect with you. And he's like, nah.
And she's like, oh, you're thinking about someone else. And he's just basically like, yeah. It's abusive in some kind of weird emotional way.
An emotionally abusive relationship. He uses her for sex, and then she, and then basically is like, come in and have dinner with me and the woman who I really love.
Yeah, the woman who I'm technically cheating on you with, let's all hang out. And she just deals with it. And I feel so terrible for her because I want to know her story. Like, I feel so bad for her. And I don't really care about these other people.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nicholas Sparks, when he wrote the book, because I assume this is all in the book. I think he was just like, see how understanding we can all be. It's not that bad. If people would just think about it. And it's like, wait a second. This is not reality. People would not react like, oh, yeah, it's okay that this happened. You can do whatever you want. You know what? She is pretty amazing. Why don't you two get married? You know, it's like, this is all, it sounds like it would be done in spite, but it's like all genuine. Like, yes, please do whatever you want. I love you. And so they basically enable these two main characters' terrible behavior. And they get like rewarded for it, because in the end they end up getting married and they spend all their time together. It's wonderful.
And they have a family, and then she gets dementia and he's dementia.
Right. So so the movie's cutting back and forth between, like, you know, the past and the present, I guess, with, like, they're both old and they live in a retirement community. And then he's like reading to her every day from this notebook that's like their story. And it was absolutely amazing, because the movie then goes on to have her, like, after he concludes, she's like, oh my gosh, I remember everything and I love you and you're wonderful. And
she remembers for maybe 5 minutes, and then she's like, who are you? Get away from me. And you feel terrible, because I feel like this poor woman is being psychologically tortured to make her husband feel better. And the reason that her husband isn't going to hang out with his children, the rest of his family, is he's like, that's my sweetheart, or that's what, you know,
he's like,
whatever.
I have to take care of her. And his kids come, and they're like, why don't we all live together? And he's like, no, sorry.
She's being taken care of. And yes, it's nice that he's helping, because that's something that I feel like you probably should do. But he's neglecting everybody else who's like, you know, I feel like he's just doing it to make himself feel good.
Right.
Like, I feel like he's sad and he wants to not feel sad, which is like, I get that, but I feel like he's not doing it for her sake, because every time she remembers and then forgets again, it's like torture.
Right.
So it is kind of messed up.
It's very screwed up. And like, but also the hospital is like, you two stay apart. Like, you're not allowed to be together. And it's like,
oh yeah, that was weird.
Are hospitals allowed to do that? I think if you're a husband and wife, that takes precedent. And if he wants to be with his wife, he can be. But
yeah. I mean, unless she's screaming, unless she was like screaming at him, like, you need to not touch me. You know what I mean? Cause that would be some kind of assault issue.
Right. Exactly.
But I mean, I don't know if he wouldn't be able to ever see her. It was really unclear. And it's just the buildup to the ending. Every time it cuts to them as old people, I literally like don't even want to think about them when they were younger, because I'm like, this isn't helping me like these older people, because I didn't really like them when they were young.
You don't like, well, that's the thing. The movie never explains to you why they're in love, why you should care about them being in love. It's just like two very attractive people make out a lot. And
they fight,
but that's, they love each other. Fighting is a key to
developing
your relationship.
You're supposed to be unhappy when you're in a good relationship. Or you're supposed to be, there's this thing that happens in a lot of bad romantic movies and stories where it's like, if you're in love, you're going to have this underlying anxiety. Always. You're going to be always a little bit uncomfortable or unsettled or scared.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be scared. You should be able to be completely comfortable, completely boring whenever you want to be boring, completely content, completely supportive. It's not to say that you wouldn't fight, but the way that they fought was so over the top and passionate, just like the way that they would like make up and make out with each other was right. over the top, but I didn't see that middle ground where they could just coexist.
Yeah, where there was like, you never saw the moment where like they do a lot of really cliched, like, oh, let's live, let's lay in the middle of the street, you know, we'll go, I'll row the boat and we'll make out in the rain. They do all these really cliched,
even
like,
when they
movie
have ice
trope
cream
things.
Like when they have right. ice cream, she shoves it in his face and basically throws it and they make out. I'm like, I know, it's you like, just God. Threw away your very good ice cream. That's not real.
Yeah, that's, you can't, ice cream doesn't grow on trees.
You just
Missy.
Share the ice cream together. That's exactly. what a real couple would do. Jesus.
Well, I, you know, the movie, because, you know, Ryan Gosling, when they're reunited and she's like, I don't know how I feel. I slept with you, but I love my husband. And Ryan Gosling's like, you're just bored and you come to me when you're bored. And it's like, well, that's a pretty good point. Like, she does. They were together for a summer and now they are like, she's feeling trapped and she's escaping with him. But what is, this movie is like, yes, you're bored with your perfect husband, so you want to be with Ryan Gosling, but then why wouldn't she be just as bored with Ryan? The movie never like actually confronts what a real relationship, like what right. real love is that it's work and stuff like that. And I get, I mean, that's probably why this movie is so popular, because I think a lot of the target demographic probably wants to believe in this ideal that does not exist, that this right. movie is basically reinforcing.
And yeah, and again, like you said, there's no good reason for them to love each other. Another myth is that you're just impossibly attracted to somebody like a magnet, and they're the one for you, and they're right. the only one for you, and you have no decision at any point. It makes sense in the initial attraction to feel like the desire to want to go on a date with somebody, but at a certain point you are making a decision. Right. I want to commit to this person, and you make that commitment every day that you're with them. Hey, I want to make this person's life better. What can we do to support each other yeah. and stabilize each other? But they're just all about like screaming and making out and doing it, and like it's nothing felt real about that. And they didn't really have the time together to see if they could establish that. Yeah. I mean, they did. I mean, I guess when
it happened, but we didn't understand it.
That's
yeah.
the part that they didn't show. So the part that they showed was very much like Romeo and Juliet, which is a very unstable. I mean, they're young right. and they make bad decisions and they never have that period in life where that you see them being stable.
Right.
And they just skipped that part in this movie. And yeah. I know they have the capability of being stable. They had a life together.
Clearly, yeah. And then that's what's so funny about this movie. So the movie, like you're saying, it's completely unrealistic. It's completely just kind of absurd. And then, so we sit through about like an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes of this complete fantasy land of a relationship. And then we cut to them as an old couple. And she has dementia and is screaming like, I don't know anybody. And it's depressing. And he immediately in the next scene after has a heart attack. And it's like, what is happening? And the movie, so it's like the movie is like fantasy, la, la, la. And then it shifts tonally like that. And it's like ridiculous. It goes from being so stupid to extremely like morbid and depressing, because they're both dying. She's alone, and then he goes into her room and is like, all right, let's just, I lost it, but like, he's like, I love you, and she's like, okay, good night, and she goes to sleep, and then the nurse comes in the next day, and they're both dead. They're dead. died together.
You were cackling so loud.
It was the most, it was like the cherry on top yeah. of this complete storm of a movie.
That is the part, okay, when they die together in the bed at the end, that is the part where everyone around me was crying. And I remember thinking, like, am I a monster, or is that just really bad and I'm being realistic here?
Well, I will admit, the scene where they like, where he like is with her and she remembers him and they're just talking to each other, it was very the only it felt like the only emotionally true scene in the movie.
I actually want to see a movie where it's them starting from when they have their stable relationship, mm-hmm. when they're like, you know, 30s, 40s and on up until their old age together.
Right.
That's kind of the movie that I'm more interested yeah. in, if we're talking about a love story and not a strangely tonally off, emotionally manipulative yeah. movie. Because it was like, hey, romance, 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 and then like gut punch, like at the end, to where it's like you can't help but laugh because it's so Like, is that what really just happened? Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Like, the whole movie just amounts to they die at the end and they're miserable. It's great. But, and then what happened? I honestly, there was a moment where, because the whole time I was like, oh, the old guy's Ryan Gosling. She's Rachel McAdams. And then there was a moment where I thought they were going to trick us and have the old guy be James Marsden. And I would have given the movie so much credit if they did that. And it didn't. I was like, oh, I'm giving the movie way more credit than it deserves. But, right. So obviously we are not this movie's target audience. Yes, yeah. Do you think we're being unfair to this movie? Do you think like, so I feel like some people might listen to us complain and tear this movie apart and it deserves to be. I'm sorry, you're just going to have to deal with it. But like, do you think there's any kind of justification to somebody saying, well, it wasn't made for you and you just don't understand and I'm allowed to like terrible movies if I want?
We're being completely fair to the movie. I think if you like it, that's fine. Right. And I wouldn't like, that's, I don't think that there's any, I have no issue with the people who love it. You know, now I'm mature enough to like chill out about that kind of stuff. But that doesn't mean I have to like be kind to the movie, which is, you know.
Right. It doesn't deserve your
I don't kindness. Have to pretend to like it. Yeah.
Right.
It is. I thought I would find something redeemable now that I love Ryan Gosling.
Right.
But I didn't like him in the movie.
No,
I'm sorry.
Terrible. He's so bad in this movie. I was going to say, like, that review we read beforehand, that was like, at least the performances are good. I was like, well, James Marsden was good. I liked him. But Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams, Rachel McAdams was all right, but Ryan Gosling was terrible. He's like a blank slate. Like, he's not interesting. You were right. He looks really weird in this movie. But is there anything about this movie that you did like?
No. I mean, other than James Marsden being really kind
James
and
Marsden
sweet.
Was like the perfect husband and she threw him away.
I didn't even like the ducks. Like, there were too many.
There are too many ducks.
Clearly.
Wait,
too many
that
ducks.
One scene where there are like ducks everywhere and then it cuts to like close-ups of them and you can see clearly the ducks are gone. Like, if you just look in the corner of the screen, you can see the ducks have disappeared.
Well, there were like a million ducks, which was terrifying. It wasn't cute.
Right.
And then she gives them bread and somehow they don't swarm her. And
like, I thought they were like,
I
and I told you this story, but I'm going to tell the audience now. I had an experience where I was in a boat. I was in a canoe with my wife and we like were being chased by a duck in a lake and the duck just kept coming after us and we were like rowing desperately away and it was terrifying. So that scene was like, it was like PTSD. I had like horrible Vietnam flashbacks to that duck coming after me and I was like, why would you want to be in a lake surrounded by ducks feeding them? Because they would totally eat you, but not in this movie.
I would love to see a movie that had a scene with characters like you and your wife rowing with a duck fall. Like, that would be
right.
Such a true to life, wonderful thing. Like, you dealing with awkward, stupid things,
right?
Is just, and this movie had none of that. It wasn't grounded at all.
No.
It didn't even have the moments.
You never, like, I mean, you had very superficial, like, they're at the beach, oh, they are like on a date, you know. But it was like, it, the movie tells us a lot. Like, the narrator will come in and be like, and boy, oh boy, did they love each other. And it was like, do they? Because I don't get that at all.
Yeah, the narrator was really, and it had to like feed stuff to you.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, you know, they were mismatched because he was from the country, see?
Right.
And I was like, I didn't.
It's
okay.
Like, well, yeah, thanks for telling us. It's a good thing somebody did.
I think where he does play this type of character well, it's just not really in this movie. Like, when he's in a movie that's
Ryan Gosling
written better. Yeah.
Yeah.
When Ryan Gosling, like The Place Beyond the Pines, he is a not well off sort of guy. And I feel like that and Drive, and I mean, a lot of his movies where he's just like a, either down on his luck or working class.
Well, even La La Land. Like,
La La Land,
he's basically the same character, but extremely charming.
And all of these movies, and the movies where he's awkward, and when he's not awkward, he still comes across as very genuine.
Right.
And he's endearing in many different ways, depending on the role. But this role, I think the character is just written so terribly that I just didn't gravitate towards him even at all. Even now that I like Ryan, I just, nope.
Right. Nothing about this movie was really, like, there were no redeeming qualities. It was pretty terrible throughout.
I'm sorry. We're being really negative.
We are. But I mean, let's face it. This movie kind of deserves it. I know there are people who really love this movie. And frankly, I think you're sick. You need help. You're twisted. And I'm here. And we're here to support you. If you need support, just reach out at Join Nerd Party. Just reach out to them. Tell them how you feel and that you're suffering from notebook syndrome, and we'll be there for you. But all right, so nothing redeeming about this movie. Even Ryan Gosling is terrible.
The only redeeming thing is that it was so much fun to
We had a lot of fun watching it. I wish everybody could have been there. But there were tons of moments where it was just like, you couldn't help but laugh at just the sheer absurdity. And also, honestly, I thought it was going to be like sappy and romantic and kind of lame. But I wasn't expecting the sheer amount of just absurdity with their relationship being so like not genuine. And just the fact that these two terrible people are like just treating everyone around them like garbage. And although her mom was pretty terrible to her.
Her mom was bad.
Like,
her
hides all the letters that he sent her. And then she saves them. And at the end, she's like, here you go. And it's like, wait, you saved those and you just happened to have them on you?
There was mixed messages with her because then she talked about her old romance and how she chose that. But then she's like, but I love your my husband. I love your dad. So and then she leaves. So that was just a confusing like shoved in part where her mom shows a little bit of humanity, but
yeah,
she's still not she does bad things. So
everyone's pretty terrible in this movie, except for James Marsden. He is a saint.
A plus.
So, what should our rating system be on a scale of 1 to 5?
Ducks.
Is it ducks? We can do CGI geese, bearded Ryan Goslings.
Oh, wait, I like the beard.
Okay. Let's do bearded Ryan Goslings. Okay. So on a scale of 1 to 5, how many bearded Goslings do you give this? Bearded Gosling sounds like a duck anyway.
I want to sound like I'm not being dramatic, but I'm going to give it 1. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to say maybe 2, but now that I watched it and I can't think of what I liked about it, I have to say 1.
Right. I am in complete agreement with you. I think it's kind of nice. You know, it's the 10th episode of Missing Frames, and it's kind of nice that we have a landmark in this way. I think this is officially so far the worst Missing Frames movie we've watched.
Yeah.
I would give it 1 out of 5. It was really, really terrible, but in a very disturbing way where it was like, I can't believe people actually like this, but, I'm glad I finally saw it, I guess. I'm glad we could watch it in
now
the sense
know.
Of it was like we weren't surrounded by crying people because they would have been very offended by the laughter.
Yes.
But anyway, so Lindsay, if people want to yell at you for hating this wonderful film, where can they reach you on Twitter?
Sure. Yell at me all you want. It's happened before. At a tiny Amazon with underscores between each word.
And James Marsden. And if you're listening, please reach out to me at Yay Sean Dorman. I'm here for you and we'll create a support group for you. Him and Sean Bean, I think they need like a support group where it's like they're both constantly getting screwed
over. They need
to
both be in a movie together where they're just these fantastic guys and nothing terrible happens to
exactly.
them.
I think we should create a buddy movie with James Marsden, Sean Bean, nobody dies, everyone's happy, they get everything they want. It won't be great drama, but it'll just make me feel good. But also, if you want to, do reach out to @joinnerdparty. And if you're listening to us, wherever you're listening, rate us. I don't know what the rating systems are anywhere, but I know on iTunes you can write a review and give us a 5-star rating, and it helps us out so much, and we'd greatly appreciate it. Be sure to go to thenerdparty.com and check out all the shows. Thankfully, they didn't have to go through this, but they're still pretty good shows. So I would definitely recommend giving them a shot. And Lindsay, thank you so much once again. This is great. So you've done 3 episodes in a row, and they've all been the first one. I was terrible to one of your favorite movies. The second one, we were super depressed. And now this one is just another terrible movie.
It's okay. It's a pleasure. I love talking about movies, regardless of good, bad, and different.
Well, that's good. So I'll try to pick a better one next time just for your sake.
Sure.
But thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Notebook sucks. But happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Do something better than fall in love with a fake person.
Have a realistic date with someone that you care about and you support.
Yeah, actually talk to each other. That would
yeah.
that would be good. Communication. All right, everybody. Take care.